Hey there, it's summertime, and this is Mike.
And Daniel.
And you're listening to Comparing Apples to Oranges, the podcast where we take two things that don't belong in the same genre, but exist in the same category. Then, with a set of criteria we come up with on the spot, decide which one's better.
Well said.
Yeah, I'm getting better.
First try.
Power of editing. today, we are taking a look at a combination of categories that Dan had a really fun time coming up with. We did trios, so musical bands that have three prominent members, and greatest hits, which we've done greatest hits before. We did a joke greatest hits one, mm-hmm. where we listened to Tone Loc? I know it's Color Me
Bad.
It was
Young MC.
Young MC. Yeah, because I kept saying the youngest MC. That's right.
He's the youngest of all the MCs.
And he just wants to bust a move.
Yeah, bust a move.
And so that was like a joke episode where we like made ourselves listen to stuff we didn't like.
What do you mean it was a joke episode?
Like we laughed a lot because we love to laugh.
Because we love their music. It made us so happy that we laughed.
Name two members of Color Me Bad.
There's the one guy that looks like George Michael.
And?
There's one guy that looks like Kenny G.
All right. That's it. That's better than I could do.
I got a Color Me Bad answer at trivia last week.
I didn't know what you were going to say. I thought you were going to say t-shirt.
I got a Color Me Bad signed t-shirt, sir.
It says,
and I got you one too.
That guy by Kenny G.
Yep.
All right.
No, they played a Color Me Bad song at trivia last week, and I knew that it was Color Me Bad.
Was it the one? Was it one that we?
It
knew?
Was one from the. From was the it? And it was kind of a deep cut from the album.
Oh,
too.
So it wasn't the sex
no,
one.
No, it wasn't. I Want to Sex You Up.
Oh.
Or I Adore Mia Moore.
Those are two really bad songs.
It was not that. It was a deep cut. So I just wanted to thank you.
You're welcome
for bringing this podcast into the ether.
Yeah, I mean,
so that I could get a random trivia point.
Any points?
Tuesday night.
Did you guys win? Of course not.
No. Oh God, no.
There's no way.
No.
So the first time we did greatest hits, we did like ones that were on a list specifically about how they were not very good at being greatest hits. Mm-hmm. So we decided this year to start listening to music we might enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And while there were a lot of famous trios, it's kind of one of the things that you don't think about until you like sit down and examine how many members are in a band.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was doing this last night and I came up with about 12, and there's like some pretty big bands out there that you don't know.
Like who?
Dixie Chicks.
Okay.
So you just think of them as a country band or as a girl band. You don't think of it as a trio. And then Depeche Mode, that was on the list you sent me.
Okay. Yeah, see, I didn't know they were a trio.
I didn't know Nirvana was considered a trio, because I was never big in their, like, I wasn't a huge follower, but...
So it was Kurt Cobain, Dave Grohl, and the other guy?
Yeah, that's the thing, is, like, I only knew those two as well. I didn't know it held itself at that limit.
I guess I just assume when I think of, like, one of the bands we're doing today, I didn't know it was a trio either.
Correct.
When I think of rock band, I guess I just automatically think of four pieces.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think of like vocalist,
mm-hmm.
drummer,
mm-hmm.
And a couple of guitars.
Right.
And then maybe like a keyboard or something like that. But a lot of times those guys aren't even included in the band.
Right.
They're just like the touring group or something like that.
And that's the thing, is like with, you know, famous duos or, you know, solo acts, they actually have more than just those people tour with them, because for a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
But I mean, and that was a heavy critique of the band The White Stripes, which famously only had two people in it, and one of them, Meg White, was not that talented at the one instrument she was supposed to play, which
was
the
drums.
Drummer,
right?
Yeah. But Jack White took it upon himself to play the guitar sort of like a bass,
mm-hmm.
and just sort of weird everybody out with the singing, and apparently that sort of, you know, filled in the missing spots. But
my dad went and saw, he went to Bonnaroo.
Yeah.
Down in Tennessee, I guess it is.
Manchester.
And he saw Eminem there.
Oh, Marshall.
And
yes.
Loved him, by the way.
He has mass appeal.
He saw Kanye there a couple years ago and hated him. But he saw Eminem there. Eminem had, he said he had not one, but two drummers with full drum kits. He had like a 7-piece orchestra. I mean, this guy rolls deep.
Apparently.
So when you were, I just kind of reminded me when you were talking about, you know, taking additional people on the road when you're touring. Eminem rolls deep, man. Not one, but two drummers.
He's a job creator.
Yeah. That's what he is. He's just, you know, simulating the environment.
The economy?
Yeah, the economy. That's the, that's that thing. The money one.
He poured a bunch of gasoline down a well. Stimulating the environment.
So people would have to buy more. Yeah, so that's just what I think about when I think about rock bands. You don't think automatically of three comes to mind.
Especially because, like, I don't know how many people are in Black Sabbath. Or then you always have the famous joke about Motley Crue.
It's like, what has... Def Leppard.
Oh, okay. Like, see? We didn't even know.
Like, what has seven arms and sucks? Mm-hmm. Def Leppard, because the drummer only has one arm.
Exactly. So that's the thing, is like, oh, Rush. Rush is a three-person band.
Rush. Paul Abdul song?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that one song has three people in it. Good call.
It might.
I thought you were going to start singing Flash Gordon, but which is by Queen.
Flash!
Oh!
He's the greatest in the universe.
Yeah. Nope. It's Paul Abdul. My bad. I read that wrong. That's on me.
I heard Donald Trump starting like a new branch of the military. Did you hear that?
No.
Starting like a space corps or something like
that. Oh, man, I was waiting for the joke. This is just sad.
But I assume he's going to get like all his best people. I'm going to get Flash Gordon. We've already got the Silver Surfer signed up.
He's like, is Johnny Quest in space?
Trust me.
Get him too.
Johnny Quest, not Haji.
That's the Indian one. Yeah. Right? Pakistani, I don't know.
Yeah, he's not going to let him in the Space Corps.
Because he's racist.
Yeah.
All right, so today, and then let's talk about, so we talked about greatest hits.
Were there any other, like, trios that were, like, you'd heard of them?
You forget about the Beastie Boys being a trio?
Yeah.
Which is, like, two MCs and a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
And that shows up a couple times, like the Migos, who are really popular right now, but all three of them are MCs?
Yeah, they wear blouses, too, so. Hmm?
Big glasses, big sunglasses. And prescription? I haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah, who knows?
Those were the ones that, like, came to mind when I sat down and thought about it, put the think on, you know. But trios are, like, a precarious number for it because, like, everybody knows about the solo acts and then, you know, the bands that they just carry with them, like Bob Dylan, and then eventually was in the band sort of mm-hmm. thing. Or, like, duos, famous duos, and they, like, take turns. And then, like you said, four seems like the normal number for mm-hmm. a rock band.
Yeah.
So three is sort of an interesting number. We got the Wilson Phillips as our first band, mm-hmm. and we listened to their album, The Best of Wilson Phillips, which was released in 1998. Wilson Phillips is called an American vocal group consisting of, is it Carney?
Mm-hmm.
Wilson? It's a terrible name. Wendy Wilson, and I think her name's China?
Yeah.
God. Phillips. The daughters, respectively, of Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys mm-hmm. and John and Michelle Phillips of the Mamas and Papas.
Yeah. Brian Wilson, one of the greatest songwriters of all time.
And John and Michelle Phillips, not the incestuous members of Mamas and Papas. So that's fun.
There's people incest. There was incest in Mamas and Papas?
Yeah, like the one guy married his daughter, right? They are...
Fun facts for Know and Tell with Mike Bono.
I think you can look it up. I remember this being a...
Chris Hansen's going to show up. Why don't you have a seat?
I'm already sitting. Why don't you have a seat? They are in the genre of adult contemporary, pop rock, soft rock. Ooh, really hit a high note there. Soft rock.
Soft rock.
They were active from...
Sexually active?
1989. When they started touring, so I guess so.
Yeah,
I'm sure. 1993. Took a brief break. For 11 years, popped back on the scene in 2004, took a six-year hiatus,
yep.
Popped back up again 2010, and are currently touring.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to take a hiatus, and we'll see you in 2030. Thing that I remember from when I was growing up, so you said the first album came out in 1990?
Correct, debut album.
So I was 10 years old, so I was, you know, in...
Like all about adult contemporary.
It's like a, yeah. Just anything by John Tesh.
Kenny G, you're my boy.
Yep. So I guess I was like a preteen, I guess, when they were most popular. And I remember that Carney Wilson became like kind of a I want to say she became famous, but she became like infamous for having a stomach stapling surgery.
Oh God, in the 90s?
Yeah. And so, I mean, and she lost like 120 pounds or something like that and got like Oprah skinny.
Mm-hmm.
And then something went wrong and
she got Oprah fat.
And she got Oprah fat.
Oh no.
Yeah.
So, that's too bad.
Yeah, that's what I remember Carney Wilson for. And then, of course, I remember, you know, a couple of the big hits that we'll talk about.
I have an incredible amount of information on both of these bands. So I'm going to just hit some of the stuff real quick. First of all, let's talk about the other band real quick so we can put everything in context. We picked 20th Century Masters, which would be a pretty cool name for a band. But 20th Century Masters, the Millennium Collection, The Best of Cream. So we're going to listen to the band, the second band with Eric Clapton and Yardbirds being the first band. And the Blues something? Wreckers?
Dude, he's been in like 20 bands. He was almost in the Beatles. You know that story?
Everybody was almost in the Beatles. That's the story.
George Harrison was like throwing a fit. I don't know if he was like, you know, they wouldn't let him play like his original stuff. Well, he was like throwing a fit. He goes, I think I'm done. I think I'm done with the Beatles for a while. And they said, all right, we'll get Eric Clapton. And he goes, oh, I think I could stick around for a little while.
Because
I'm pretty sure he was pretty sure that if Eric Clapton took a spot, that there would not be a spot for him to return to eventually.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know.
Although him and Eric Clapton were actually like really close, apparently.
It sounds like Eric Clapton's like a cool guy.
Yeah.
And by cool, I mean like easy to go along with, not like cool as in like wildly successful. Oh, sorry. So he was in the Yardbirds, and then he was in John Mayall and the Blues Breakers, and then he landed with Cream. Oh, he's also associated with George Harrison, according to the internet.
Yeah, I think they wrote some songs together and stuff.
Holding hands and singing songs. That's fun.
Yeah, Eric Clapton's been in, he was in a band called Derek and the Dominoes, too.
Correct.
I just remember, like, my dad always had, we had, like, a running list of all the bands, and he would, like, quiz me for every 6 months or so.
He's a super talented guy.
Yeah. He just wants to play guitar, man.
He loves it so much. So, real quick, Cream is well known for putting out blues music, British power rock, psychedelic rock, and I guess like hard rock is what it called. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I don't know about that. But they put out 4 albums in an incredibly short amount of time. So their first album came out in 1966. That was their Fresh Cream. And then November of the next year, so they didn't wait a full calendar year, they put out Disraeli Gears. And then Wheels of Fire came out in July of the next year. So they wait. They're putting this stuff out crazy. And then in February, they put out the last one called Goodbye, which is when they broke up. And we're going to talk about why they broke up in a little bit.
That's a massive amount of Cream.
Call them y'all like you see them there, don't you, Dan?
Yep.
All right. That was an easy one.
Yep.
I mean, the first one's called Fresh Cream, and they're all like, just like, is that the one where they have the hats? The album, they have like, they're all 3 of them are wearing white suits and they have like the hat.
Or I think you're thinking of the Bee Gees.
Oh yeah, I always think about the Bee Gees.
Ha ha!
I didn't know where it was going to stop or start. Okay, so fun fact about Cream. God, I'm going to get used to saying that.
Yeah. Why don't you have a seat?
So it's the British power rock trio consisting of drummer Ginger Baker, guitarist/singer Eric Clapton, and bassist/singer Jack Bruce. While together, they released 4 albums, the last 2 partly recorded live in concert, and 10 singles. Since their breakup, there have been 4 albums of music recorded live in concert, as well as 11 compilation albums. And we listened to one of them for our show today. So that's just, we're going to talk about like the bands themselves a little bit. Because these are both like wildly successful bands.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of both of them broke up, unlike some of the other bands we've talked about and albums we've talked about. Nobody died. They just sort of like didn't want to be together anymore. But then both of these greatest hits albums came out amidst their break, like after their after they'd broken up, and then sort of got them some good money, and then they came back a little bit later to tour.
Mm-hmm.
Except for, I mean, Cream doesn't tour strictly, but like they'll show up for live stuff and like mm-hmm. play with each other.
Cream plays with each other.
Yeah. Here we go. All right, so the Wilson sisters. Hopping back to Wilson Phillips. So you know where they got their name. Their last names were Wilson.
So we're getting off of Cream?
For now. I'll be back. Don't worry. Okay. You ready?
Just want to make sure we're getting off of Cream.
We are.
Because you didn't respond.
So Wilson joke. Phillips' first album, called Wilson Phillips, sold over 10 million copies worldwide, placed 3 number one singles on the Billboard Hot 100, making the trio the best-selling female group at the time.
That's
which is
insane.
Awesome. That's awesome.
That's insane.
Take that, Cyndi Lauper. And the Bengals.
Yeah, they said they beat the Supremes.
Yeah.
Diana Ross and the Supremes.
There wasn't a lot of, like, they just were bad about selling stuff back then. That's my guess.
Man, I don't know.
So, they won the Billboard Music Award for a Hot 100 Single of the Year with their song Hold On, which, to the credit of their greatest hits album, was the very first song.
Yeah,
because
you gotta
they're
start
like,
off hot.
Because this came out in 1998, so like 8 years after this album came out, and they were trying to hit the crowd that like was sleeping on it, and they're like, "Hey, you definitely heard this song."
Someday somebody's gonna make you wanna turn around and say goodbye.
Say goodbye.
Until then, baby, are you gonna let them hold you down and make you cry?
Do you know? I don't
know.
They
were in. You ever seen the movie Bridesmaids?
They mentioned that in the Wikipedia article.
Yeah,
that was all of them in real life. Well, they actually got together for that.
Yeah.
It wasn't holograms.
It wasn't like a Tupac hologram.
It might have been, but that's not true.
Gotcha.
So this group formed with, they were all friends from a young age, growing up in the 70s and 80s in Southern California, and they shared a love of music and songwriting, developed their own style of vocal harmonics. That word is harmonies. In 1989, the trio signed with SBK Records. Don't know who they are. The group is also known for being the offspring of prominent musicians, which we already mentioned.
Yeah, you would imagine that they grew up liking music. Or you might imagine, I don't know, if maybe you wouldn't want to get into music if your parents were into that. I guess it depends on what kind of parents you had.
It's one of the things where you see more that like people who have famous parents as musicians like would rather keep it going rather than like you see people who have famous parents who are actors. That's not as frequent.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that there isn't like serious like nepotism going on where like people are getting their kids jobs because like those people want to keep going, but I think in music for the most part, like, you know, barring Jaden Smith, Willow Smith, and Miley Cyrus, there's not a lot of like people who like flaunt how famous their parents are. Like mm-hmm. Jacob Dylan, who's Bob Dylan's son, like he was in a band called the Wallflowers. He didn't say Jacob Dylan mm-hmm. parentheses Bob Dylan's son and some dudes. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and it's weird that Jacob Dylan didn't sing like this.
Well, he has a Jacob with a K.
Yeah, he's got a K in his name.
Yeah.
So he's going to talk normal.
He doesn't talk normal, but he definitely doesn't talk like that.
He doesn't talk like this.
Here's the thing. Bob Dylan doesn't talk like that anymore.
Bob Dylan's like, yeah, when I sing, I like to put on a performance.
Just how the Beatles didn't sound British when they sang, I don't sound like this when I talk.
Yeah, my dad says like the opposite about Green Day with the Beatles. He goes, Green Day sounds like American when they talk, but they try to sound British when they sing.
That is, that's weird.
The Beatles do the opposite.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And it raises an important question.
Raises the eyebrow. The people's eyebrow.
Can you smell it?
Yeah, I can smell it.
What's it cooking?
Cream.
Oh, damn it. I walked into that. All right, so their first album was wildly successful. And in June of 1992, like 2 years later, mm-hmm. Wilson Phillips released their second album, Shadows and Light. Mm-hmm. The album was deeply personal and adopted a more serious tone, which with tracks exploring issues such as child abuse, their estrangement from their famous fathers, and it ended up having a single that peaked at number 20 in the U.S., the first time they had a higher-ranking single in the U.K. than in the U.S. The album peaked at number 4 on the Billboard charts, went double platinum, but everybody sort of agreed it was not a commercial success, mm-hmm. which is not great. When I hear platinum, I just assume that's good.
Yeah, I guess I'm looking at it now, you know, like a platinum, I guess, is a million mm-hmm. records, and it says in Canada it went 2 times platinum. Mm-hmm. But when your first album goes 5 times platinum...
No, it's 10 million copies.
Oh, okay.
Well, I guess now.
Yeah, okay.
So, they didn't know it at the time, but 5 times platinum, still pretty good.
Yeah, that's all right. Mm. That's all right. Yeah, but when your album does that, and then your follow-up...
Yeah, it does, you know, less than that.
Yeah,
less
it's than just kind of hard to live up to that.
So, with the poor sales, China Phillips thought this would be a good opportunity to announce plans for a solo career, and the group decided to disband. So I don't... This wasn't really like a contemptuous breakup, but they did, like, stop being together. And they each sort of, like, went in their own way to do other music or, like, pop culture stuff, like movies, TV, whatever. So China Phillips married to William Baldwin. Can you talk about a Hollywood power couple?
Billy Baldwin?
Your boy.
I didn't know that.
Since 1995.
Still? With,
if they're still... it said married, didn't say divorced, so that's like a really long marriage for famous people. So that's awesome.
Wow.
She released her debut album called Naked and Scared. Oh, no, Naked and Sacred? That's definitely supposed to be Naked and Scared. I just found a Wikipedia mishap. Yeah, that's fun.
That doesn't happen.
It definitely did not recapture the success found with Wilson Phillips. Duh. Some people, you know, besides Eric Clapton and...
We'll have an intern look it up.
The slightly larger Dixie chick. She did really... I don't know if she's done solo stuff, though. Huh.
Natalie Maines?
I don't know their names. And then Carney Wilson hosted her own short-lived syndicated television show, Talk Show.
Called
Carney!
I remember that. Because
it's Carney with an exclamation point. The series was launched during the mid-1990s wave of popularity in tabloid talk shows, which followed the sudden success of Ricky Lake and Jerry Springer. It said former Cosmopolitan magazine Bachelor of the Month Chris Greeley, and then Wikipedia said citation needed, was a guest on the television pilot. Wilson found the experience a disappointment and a source of professional and personal frustration.
Whoa.
And then Wendy, Carney's younger sister, ended up doing a Christmas album with her sister in 1993 and an album in 1997 with their estranged father, Brian Wilson, from the Beach Boys.
Who was a weird dude, by the way?
Yeah, I mean, like, he had a bad time coming up. Like, he needed some mental health services, some substance abuse issues, you know, taken care of, and he just shouldn't have been. When you're like, oh, the Beach Boys, that seems really, like, wholesome. It's
yeah.
Like, no, they were into, like, a lot of hard drugs.
They were hanging out with Charles Manson, or a couple of them were.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You ever see, you gotta watch Helter Skelter? That movie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, like, they hung out at his house all the time.
That's not cool.
Like, 2 or 3 of the Beach Boys were at his house all the time.
That's not great, Dan.
And I think they, like, were gonna show up that day. He,
oh,
like,
Christ.
Killed everybody, but, like, yeah. They were like, maybe we don't go today.
I know this is a hot take, but I don't like that. I don't like Charles Manson. So, sorry, Beach
Whoa,
Boys.
Oh, that is a hot take. Somebody press the hot take. Hot take! We need a drop. We need a
I also need
drop.
Some laser effects. If you know how I could...
Pew, 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 pew.
Never
hot
mind.
Take.
Never mind. Found them, guys. Never mind. I'll find them. And last of all, so we sort of see, like, they were super popular together. They each, after they sort of didn't see major success with their second album, they decided to try and do things their own way. All of them were super frustrated. And then they got back together. And then they started making more... hits, No, I think they just started making more money. I don't think they put out more stuff.
Yeah, I don't think there was any hits happening.
Fun fact about Chyna Phillips. She was a contestant on season 13 of ABC's Dancing with the Stars and explained that their lead track that everybody knows, Hold On, was written by bandmates Carney and Wendy Wilson and her about Phillips' recovery from drug and alcohol addiction.
Hmm.
Phillips was eliminated after week 4. Mm. And I don't know if you know that. That's pretty early, so she must have been pretty bad.
Yeah, that means she was better than, like, Mr. T.
Well, like, when you
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
When you think Wilson Phillips and
Cloris Leachman.
90s contemporary adult soft rock, you don't really think of, like, dancing as a skill you would have. You know what I mean? Like, harmonizing, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet, smooth sounds that come from the heart, mm-hmm. yes. Dancing, no.
Nope. Right. Well, most of those guys on there on that show are. I'll get my wife on here when we do our Dancing with the Stars podcast.
Oh, Christ. I don't want to dance with the stars.
No.
Daniel?
She knows the dancers more than she does any of the stars.
That's because some of the stars suck.
She's
so
like, no, who's this guy? Why is this guy famous?
It's Buzz Aldrin!
All right. Buzz off.
Aldi?
Yeah.
Aldrin?
What? Oh, great. Second man on the moon. Neil Armstrong wasn't available?
He was. He got out first. I lost a handshake.
Neil
contest.
Armstrong didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
So we get his sloppy seconds.
So do you have some facts about Queen you want to share with us? Or do you want me to keep going?
Queen? I mean, I can talk about Queen. I don't.
How many members? No idea, right?
I think there's 4.
Mm. No idea.
There's, of course, Freddie Mercury. There's Brian May. And then 2 other guys.
All right. So, Cream it is. So, we see a lot of... early on, there's problems in Cream, which is sad. They have a volatile relationship between Jack Bruce and Ginger Baker.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't get along. Apparently, it has resulted in onstage fights and sabotage of one another's instruments.
Really?
Which I could just be like, how do you sabotage? It's like, I broke your drum. Hey, douchebag, I kicked your drum in. Now you can't drum.
Oops.
Good. It's like, hey, stupid, now we can't get paid. He's like, oh, yeah.
The thing that I saw that was interesting, I guess it was more toward the breakup, where Eric Clapton said there was, who seems like he was just like kind of in the middle.
They just keep saying he's just trying to get everybody to get along.
Yeah. And
which is apparently, he said, very exhausting.
Yeah, apparently like the other two members would turn their amps up louder and louder and louder. And he said one time, Eric Clapton said one time he just stopped playing and nobody noticed. Because their shit was turned up so much louder.
Right.
Because they were trying to drown the other one out. So he said he was just standing there on stage, not playing. Sad. And apparently he was Eric Clapton, who obviously the most famous of the three.
Ginger Baker is well known for his like brief stint in studying Afrocentrism sort of music, and he did some work with Fela Kuti.
Pardon me?
Exactly. He does a really...
Kuti Kinte?
No, Fela Kuti does a really good song about Nelson Mandela.
Hmm.
Nelson Mandela. Look into it. It's
sounds great.
It's better than that.
I don't think it can get better than that.
He had... Fela Kuti is well known for marrying all 18 of his backup singers at once.
Nice.
It's a wild world, man.
He slayed it, man.
He ended up having like HIV and
I'm sure he had all the STDs.
It was not good.
When you have 18 wives, you're bound to get all the STDs.
And you know
he got his punch card filled up.
In turn, give them a bunch of disease. Yep.
Every time he went to the doctor, they go, "Oh, well, we got a new one today."
Yeah. All right.
Next time you come, you get a free sandwich.
Oh no.
just gotta get herpes.
Okay, so. So, you're telling me about Eric Clapton's famous...
Oh, yeah, he was just... I mean, I guess when I think of Eric Clapton, I think of, like, a songwriter and a singer and a guitarist.
Wildly successful.
But apparently he didn't, he was really shy about singing.
That's what they said,
back then. So and he would do harmonies and every once in a while. And there wasn't a lot on the album where, there's one, I don't even remember the name of the song.
Crossroads.
Well, Crossroads.
And that's the live one.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that was the one where I was like, oh, now I like, his voice is really recognizable when you hear it. But I just, I guess I didn't realize that this was kind of before he got over that and realized that I keep getting in these bands, they keep breaking up. I guess I could make music by myself.
But he didn't do that originally. He ended up doing some like work with the drummer at first.
Okay.
But, well, I mean, not at first.
He doesn't want to be alone, man.
He just, I don't think he knew how to like get a band together. He would always just be like, somebody would ask him and he would join. Yeah. I don't think he seems sort of like an introvert in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I can see that.
And sort of just like the guy who's just like, no, let's just play your drums. Stop, you know, sabotaging his bass so it electrifies him. You know, just like, let's just be cool about it.
I saw too, it said they got a chance to jam with Jimi Hendrix because in 66, because Jimmy was such a big fan of Eric Clapton.
Which is, so that's funny because they mentioned, you were talking about Clapton. He's ranked second in Rolling Stone magazine's list of 100 greatest guitarists of all time. So take that with a grain of salt because Rolling Stone is not definitive on anything.
Yeah. Who's number one?
Jimi Hendrix.
Jimmy.
And another thing was Clapton was read an article in Rolling Stone that like took a dump on Cream's like last other their last album or their second last album, so I don't know if it was Wheels of Fire or Goodbye, but he's just like, he called him cliche and all this stuff, and that like hurt his feelings, so he's like, I don't want to keep this going because you guys clearly want to self-destruct and people aren't liking our stuff. So like, stupid Rolling Stones keeps getting it clapped in any chance they get, and I'm, you know, that kind of sucks. Okay, but I thought that was kind of an interesting thing you'd mentioned, is that like Jimi Hendrix was a huge fan, and they can like, in the annals of history, he's remembered as the best guitar. I think they just gave it to him because he's dead. You know what I mean? Like Clapton's been nonstop playing the guitar from the 60s till like, he probably still does it today because he likes it so much.
Yeah, and one of the first, I guess, when I was, I don't even remember how old I was, 14 maybe?
Mm-hmm.
And that the MTV Unplugged series was really big.
Yeah.
And then the Eric Clapton Unplugged came out. That was one of my first introductions to Eric Clapton. Mm-hmm. Other than that, and like the Color of Money soundtrack that he was on there.
I don't think I saw that movie.
Yeah, that was the pool movie with Tom Cruise and Paul Newman.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the one I'm thinking of that only has Paul Newman in it? That's the original.
The Hustler.
Yeah. Okay. And that's sort of like the non-official sequel.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Paul Newman actually won Oscars for both movies.
Paul Newman's such like, man.
It was like, that was a trivia question once. It was like, who went the longest time in between playing the same role to win an Oscar?
That's awesome.
So he played the same character like 35 years later or something.
Paul Newman's
like
a cool guy.
Yeah, good salad dressing.
Salsa's not bad either.
Is that the one where he's got like the sombrero on?
Let's just get that out of the
like
way.
Like a mustache drawn on. They're like, this is racist, but I like the salsa.
For his French dressing, he has a beret and a pencil mustache. That's not racist.
No, not when you talk about French people, but...
Right? This guy knows. Anyway, I think we're sort of getting in the weeds here.
No. We're doing great.
Cream is best known for its psychedelic sort of feel, so they sort of captured the whole Led Zeppelin's, you know, power ballads, and they even had... So Led Zeppelin has a song about the last stand of Achilles, and we sort of get, Cream has one about the tales of brave Ulysses, and so they sort of get in there with that, and then they have, like, the psychedelic cover of their second album, and then they sort of just have, like, long, winding songs, but then they also have, like, short, poppy ones. And then, judging from Clapton's, like, singing of Crossroads, it's sort of like, I'm getting the idea that he's the one who, like, would always suggest, hey, let's do this cover of this old blues song. Mm-hmm. I can't prove that, but that just sort of seems like the right... That sort of seems contiguous with his character.
Sure.
Like, and so, they're, like, the songs that there were that were such big hits with the fans and on the radio where they're, like, you know, short, fun ones, and then they're, like, long, weird, windy ones. And then... Clapton's like, I want to do some blues too. So we sort of get a whole mix of that.
Did you see at one point that they were trying to bring in Steve Winwood?
No.
Bring me a higher love.
I like Steve Winwood. I think he's a good guy.
Oh, he's a nice guy? Nah. He like helped you change a tire once?
I was about to say that. Did we? That's.
Bring me a higher love. Oh.
You don't like that song?
No, that song sucks.
That's like the only song I know.
We'll have an intern look up some more Steve Winwood.
Every time you do this, I'm like pleasantly surprised by the songs that I've heard from this guy. Okay, so anyway, so those are the two greatest hits album by the trios that we're going to now compare using a set of criteria. We'll be back in just a moment. All right, we're back. Now we're going to...
Back in the high life again.
Man, I'm telling you, it's not bad.
Yeah, it sucks.
Okay, so we're here to compare Cream's 20th Century Masters and Millennium Collection, the best of Cream, versus the best of Wilson Phillips. And we're going to do it using these four criteria. As we always do when we do albums, we do...
Re-listenability. Do you want to listen to it again? Which one do you want to... put on for a second or third go around? How many times you listen to the I only listen once.
I ended up doing it three times because the first time I listened to it was like 2 weeks ago.
Man, that's a lot of Cream.
All right. And then next we're going to talk about
well-balanced group dynamic.
Why do you think that's in there, Dan?
Because I told you to write it down.
Good answer. Why did you tell me to write it down?
Because I guess just when I think of groups.
When you think of Cream groups.
When I think of Cream.
I think of groups.
I think of groups of Cream. But I you know, sometimes you have groups that you have one or two people that kind of are at the forefront and the other members, they get mentioned but not as much.
Sugar Hill Gang. That's a famous trio.
Oh, okay.
And I can name, there's Wonder Mike.
Oh, yeah.
Who are the other two?
My name is Wonder Mike, and I like to say hello to the red, to the brown, the green, and the
sun, yellow.
To the purple and yellow.
See?
God. I used to know all of them.
I know. You've done it before on this very podcast.
God.
But anyway.
Okay, so when you think of, like, Destiny's Child.
Perfect example.
Famous trio.
Famous. Who's your favorite? On three. One, two, three.
Kelly Rowland.
Here's why. Apparently, Michelle has split off and is making bank doing Christian music.
Oh,
so,
nice.
I instantly don't like her. It's too easy to like Beyonce because I can still like Kelly Rowland the best and still privately love Beyonce.
Yeah. So, there's obviously a hierarchy in Destiny's Child.
But also because of talent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, of course those two other women are very talented. But Kelly... No, that's... We're just joking.
But Kelly's obviously number one.
We're just joking around here, guys.
But there's definitely a... Just like... I know it's not a trio, but when you think of boy bands, like NSYNC...
JT. Yeah.
There's obviously...
Joey Fatone.
Joey Fatone is not number two. Joey Fatone... Okay, let's rank...
Distant eight.
Let's rank NSYNC.
JT.
Justin Timberlake's number one. Who's the other one that would sing, him and Justin Timberlake would sing
Lance
most of the time? No, Lance is pretty far down there.
Okay. I'm out of other names.
There's Chris Kirkpatrick is
one of them. That sounds like a made-up name.
Then there's the other one who's actually was kind of, did a couple solo things.
There were five members of NSYNC?
Yeah.
Good God. Well, how do people keep track of this stuff?
Yeah. But, like, it was Justin Timberlake, it was the other guy.
Donnie.
We'll rank the New Kids on the Block in a second. probably, I guess we'll give Joey Fatone he third made slot. It.
Just because I know his name.
Yeah.
So and that means he has staying power.
And then we'll do Lance Bass fourth.
Because he went to space.
Because he went to space. Then we'll do Chris Kirkpatrick last.
Because you barely came up with his name.
But there's obviously a hierarchy in certain groups, and I think we should see which one of these, if we're talking trios, we're not talking one famous person and their buddies.
Correct.
If we're talking trios, how well do they contribute? Does everybody contribute to the finished product? Which group had the more well-balanced group dynamic where everybody is getting their stuff in, everybody is, you know, contributing to the cause, and we don't just have Michelle Williams there collecting a paycheck.
Yeah, take that.
Shame on you.
I think
Chris Kirkpatrick.
She was one of the people who had, like, industry connections, too, I think.
Oh, okay. So that's why she was in the group.
Amongst other things. I mean, she was a pretty face and could sing along. So, you know, all more.
J.C. Chazet.
Oh, J.C. That sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that rings a bell.
Yeah, he's two.
Was he 40 when he was in the NSYNC?
47, according to Wikipedia.
I was pretty close.
And so now he's 75 years old.
That makes sense. So talking about well-balanced and putting in, you know, effort towards the whole team, we talked about the diversity of songs on these greatest hits. A greatest hit should sort of not just be all your number one tracks. It should sort of encapsulate. It should sort of represent what made you...
Easy for you to say.
What made you so popular. Should hit, you know, all of your high marks, but then include one or two deep cuts that just the real
hit
rabid fans like.
Hit all the high marks again.
I'm telling you, it's not that bad. And then last of all, now that you've listened to the greatest hits, what about all the other songs? Mm-hmm. Do you want to listen to more stuff by these two bands when you're done? Would you say when I said...
I said, it was something like, which one of these greatest hits albums makes you want to delve into the deep cuts?
Deep cuts, B-sides.
Yeah, which one of them says, okay, well, I liked the famous stuff, now let's go to the...
Infamous
stuff. Because I hate... Normally, I'm the hits, you know? Normally, like, I really, really am big on, like, a group's hits. Mm-hmm. But my favorite group ever is the Beatles, and I actually like a lot. My favorite Beatles songs, probably my out of my top 10 Beatles songs, probably seven of them are more deep cuts.
Yeah.
Probably more stuff that you've heard,
but
it wasn't like you know, made for specifically for like radio airplay.
You didn't
or
want
something like that.
Your favorite song isn't "I Want to Hold Your Hand."
Right. Okay. Exactly.
Right.
Or "Help."
Right.
Or "Hard Day's Night." You know, or you know, stuff like that.
Because they had, like, pop music,
mm-hmm.
and then they had wildly successful music mm-hmm. that they're just like, okay, we're done making music for you, we're mm-hmm. going to make music we think is mm-hmm. good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so, re-listenability, should we start with that, or should that be our last one?
Before we do that, let's rank the members of New Kids on the Block, if we could.
I was just waiting for you to pull it up.
Who would you put in the top spot? Would you put... Donnie Wahlberg, or would you put cute as a button Joey McIntyre?
Trick question. Joey McIntyre isn't in New Kids on the Block. No, I don't know any. I didn't listen to that.
So I'm gonna put Joey McIntyre number one. He was like the youngest one.
Okay.
He was kind of
the newest kid.
He was kind of like the Michael Jackson of the group. So I'm gonna put him number one. I'll give Donnie Wahlberg the two spot. I'm going to give, and then of course we have the Knight brothers, Jordan and Jonathan Knight.
Yeah.
Jordan Knight had a little bit of a solo career, so I'll put him three, I'll put Jonathan four, and I'll put Danny Wood number five.
That's a lot of boys on that block. Yeah.
And Mark Wahlberg actually was offered to be in New Kids on the Block, and he turned it down.
But then he did Funky Bunch.
Right.
And Funky Bunch was before?
That was after.
It was after?
Yeah. It was like kind of in the midst of New Kids.
Right before he beat up that Vietnamese guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Feel it. And then he became an insane movie star.
Yeah. Big fan.
Yeah.
I like most of his stuff.
Yeah. Most of his music, yeah.
Anyway, so what do you want to start with, Dan?
We always do re-listenability first. Let's stick with that.
So Which one did you want to listen to over and over again?
Dude, I'm going to... Probably going to have to turn in my man card here.
You're going to say Cream.
I said Wilson Phillips.
All right, let's just get this out in the air. So, it's a shame that Wilson Phillips cannot be considered rock and roll.
Yeah.
Because they're only like three rock and roll bands that have ever been fronted by women that get to like be in that mm-hmm. category. And it's like Joan Jett and the, what's the name?
Blackhearts.
And then
Heart.
Yeah. And then more recently. So they always say garbage in this category. Mm-hmm. I never listen to them, but there's like 90s rock. So it kind of just,
I think I'm paranoid.
Yeah. 90s rock just sort of stopped being rock.
Shirley Manson, I think.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
But there's this band, what's her, something, the Grace Potter and the Nocturnals
and the Chamber of Secrets.
No, there's too much copyright infringement on that. So she sort of followed in the footsteps of Joan Jett, and sort of like, she's like the modern iteration of Joan Jett and Heart together, sort of thing,
right?
But those are really like the only three that get to like play in the field.
Mm-hmm. What about Pat Benatar?
I don't think she was rock and roll.
Okay.
She was sort of pop.
Gotcha.
But she was also in the 80s, and there was like very strict lines that almost like for rock and roll back then. And she was comfortably outside of those lines.
We belong to the light. We belong to the thunder.
I thought it was... Oh, hang on. I know the other part.
We belong to the... We
need each other. That's the part I know. Yeah, that's it. And so I think that it really sucks that Wilson Phillips doesn't get to be comfortably anywhere except adult contemporary. And like,
once you get into that, I call it the, me and my brother call it the 102.5.
Yeah, the KUZK soft rock, man.
That used to be, so we have an ongoing joke that when I was, when we were living in the same house, we shared a room, and every night we put on KUZK to go to sleep.
Delilah has a great show. I think she's still doing it.
She's still doing it. She is. And we would fall asleep, like listening to, you know, just soft rock.
Right.
And so anytime like a soft rock song is playing, we'll just both close our eyes and like our mouth falls open. We act like we're asleep. And we always say that it's dangerous. You can't play it in the car because we will die.
And that's
we'll
the thing
run
is,
off the road. But like, once you get into that, once you get put into that bubble, it's really hard to like go outside of that.
Also, like,
and it's kind of become like a joke almost.
Why would they like not want to? Why would they want to leave that bubble if they're getting like 10 times mm-hmm. platinum? Like it's a selling your soul sort of situation where it's like you can't come back from this, but you will gain so much from it.
Just like your boys Air Supply.
Perfect example. I don't know why we didn't start this conversation with them.
Because
greatest hits trios, let's talk about Air Supply.
I think they were a duo.
I know. That's why I'm so
because
mad
I
right
saw
now.
Both of them at Lumiere Casino with about a dozen 55-year-old women and that were falling, like pouring out of their dresses. There's muffin tops everywhere. What do you call it? Cottage cheese thighs and
cellulite.
There was all kinds of food related things coming out of
very derisive towards
me. And a lot of hairspray.
These, a lot of Air Supply.
Yeah, but these guys, they don't care. They're happy being in there.
Yeah. They found their niche.
They're happy being in that niche audience. They're in their 60s and still slaying old women at casinos.
Living that life.
Yeah, man.
It's questionable mores.
If just we can be that hashtag blessed when we're pushing 60.
You have to do some terrible things to make it there. But that's the thing is, like, Wilson Phillips is so talented, but all their songs have to be about the same stuff, though.
Exactly.
And that's why I wasn't a huge fan of that. I didn't want to keep hearing about like the relationships that they were in or not in or had just ended or were about to begin.
I just liked that there was a couple, on both albums, there was a couple of songs that I was kind of just like, I really wish the song would just be over.
Yeah, which sucks for greatest hits.
Right.
But yeah, I know what you mean.
I thought there was more stuff on the Wilson Phillips album that I was like, that I thought was more catchy.
Okay.
I guess that kind of fit my interest more.
Sure. Open your heart and your mind.
And there was a couple times on the Cream album that I'm just like, all right, you guys have jammed enough.
Yeah.
Like I wanted to like hit the Oscar button or like the wrap it up button.
Cut the audio.
If you guys could wrap it up, that'd be great, and just move on. And then there were some times when I thought it was going to the next track, and then they'd throw a few extra notes in there.
Yeah.
I'm like, you bastards. So I will officially be turning in my man card at the end of the show.
No, I think Wilson Phillips belongs in music, but I don't want to listen.
They belong
in
music.
Well, yeah, in the hierarchies, they're way up there because they're super talented. You know, all female group, singing their butts off. But I just not a huge fan of the kind of songs that groups like that are expected to play
Would you say Beatles, Stones, Wilson Phillips, or how would you order the?
Where's Color Me Bad in there?
Their top 10
of what?
Greatest bands ever.
Ooh, rough stuff. Anyway, I went with Cream because I really enjoy
Cream.
Like, I really enjoy 60s and 70s rock. I also am a huge fan of like the British blues covers that were happening back then, and I just thought they did a good job with the like the weird stuff. So I was
Favorite year of Cream? 69.
All right.
My dog is snoring behind me, and
so
then,
am I.
And then you kind of give the.
It's too easy, Dan. You got to come up with. I was gonna say harder stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'll come up with harder stuff for Cream.
God damn it! All right, so let's talk about which group had more balance. Which group had more, you know, interaction from everybody, the dynamics were better, to produce a better Greatest Hits album?
Well, this one was tough because you're comparing
To oranges.
Yeah. Oh, shit!
Man, I did it.
You're a genius.
I did it.
You've been playing the slow game here, the slow burn, like
two and a half years to help
me realize that. That's what we're doing here. But we are comparing strictly a vocal group.
Correct.
Plays no instruments.
Correct.
To a group that plays all their instruments.
Right. And so, with primarily only one singer.
Right.
And then, like, when he is singing, it's barely noticeable, except for that one live cut.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. So I had a hard time with this one because, you know, how do you compare, in this case, apples to oranges, and the fact that on the Wilson Phillips album, you know, they were all every track, and there was harmonies on every track. I couldn't really tell which one of them. I think it was probably China, who was taking the lead on the majority of the songs.
Yeah, I didn't follow them enough. Like, I didn't grow with them, so I didn't really know.
I mean, it was kind of like with the Cream album, you're like, oh, well, there's the Eric Clapton one.
Right.
You know?
Because at the end they said, Eric Clapton,
everyone.
Right.
It's like, motherfucker, we know it's Eric Clapton. Because it sounds like, if I can change the world.
You got to work on that.
I would be the sunlight in your universe.
That was it. That was spot on.
Thanks, man.
That was really good.
I worked on it.
It's good.
In the 2 seconds you told me
the magic
I got
of editing.
I got my shit together.
This took 4 hours.
I can get it.
Roll it again.
We'll do it live. I'll write it myself and we'll do it live. I hate to say it, man. I'm kind of leaning toward Wilson Phillips.
I'm not hating to say it. I love vocal harmonies. I thought they did a great job.
Yeah, I thought they did, too.
If you're going to have three people in there and you're going to give them all a microphone, you're going to get what we got.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was good. Where when you have three people playing a you know, instruments and one person singing and then sometimes backup, like, the balance exists, but it doesn't necessarily rise above anything. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that seeing them live would blow my goddamn mind, mm-hmm. because I'm sure, like, I would see a drum solo that would be, like, 15 minutes and awesome, and then I'd see a guitar solo that would melt my face.
Like you just saw the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah, but, like, but I wasn't a Nazi.
In this pretend world, you're not a Nazi, is what you're saying.
I'm nodding emphatically. But I
put that hand down, by the way.
It just wants to go up there. That's the thing, is like, Cream is an awesome band. Mm-hmm. I think
I agree.
There's no reason to say that they're not.
Nope.
And their greatest hits is good. Mm-hmm. And some of their songs are amazing. But it doesn't feel like any, like, that is because of these people aren't just amazingly talented. Like, they're not working together to make this. They could all do separate tracks, and then it would be a similar product. Where, like, these people have been, Wilson Phillips has been working together since they were kids, mm-hmm. practicing, coming up with songs, sharing, you know, content of lyrics and stuff, and working on this. And I think it shows really well.
Eric Clapton doesn't even know what band he's in right now. He's like, no, which one? Which one am I in? Right?
Just put the, I'll play the guitar.
Just
really
fucking
well.
Give me a guitar. I'll shred it. I'm the second greatest guitarist of all time.
God damn it.
You were talking about, like, some of the awesome songs that Cream had.
Mm-hmm.
What, I mean, the one that I know the best of is Sunshine of Your Love.
For sure. Me too.
Were you a little surprised that the highest that got on the U.S. charts was 5? I'll soon be with you, my love. Give you my dull surprise.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I mean, when you think of Wilson Phillips, they had several number ones.
Yep, a lot. And they did really well in
Hold On, Release Me, and You're in Love were all ones. And then Impulsive was a 4.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on the U.S. charts, on the dreaded Adult Contemporary. were even higher.
Know your audience, man.
They had 3 ones, a 2, 2 fours, a 7. But you know, for Sunshine of Your Love, that was Cream's highest U.S. hit was 5. White Room, which is probably the second one that I know the most, was got to number 6.
Yeah.
So it just kind of surprised me, because those were, like, especially the beginning of Sunshine of Your Love.
Definitively iconic. Yeah. Everybody knows it.
And I I've heard it probably,
yeah,
300 times in my life,
right.
But I still love the
because it's, and that's one of the things, is like, it's simple,
mm-hmm.
but it's done well,
yeah.
Where it doesn't have to be super complicated,
right,
to be really good.
Absolutely. I just thought that was a little surprising. What we got next?
Diversity of songs on this greatest hits album.
I'll let you go first, but this one was easy for me.
So I'm going to go with Cream.
Yeah, me too.
Because, my biggest argument against Wilson Phillips is sort of, like, the reason they were so successful. Like,
yep.
They did one thing, and they did it really well. And that's maybe why their second album didn't go 40 million platinum.
Uh-huh.
Where, like, Double Platinum is wildly awesome.
Yeah.
But they saw it as a commercial failure, and I guess, like, so did everyone else, because they're just like, oh, this is more of the same, when really it was, like, actually more introspective.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe people listen to soft rock to sort of, like,
fall asleep.
Well, it's also just, like, a really easy, like, oh, that's happened to me too. But this one, they're like, wait, your dad? You have a bad relationship with your dad? That's not cool. You're like, they're like, we know it's not cool. We're trying to be honest. They're like, nah. But can I even talk to you again? Oh, part of me wants to call you up and talk to you like a friend. And there's a part of me that wants to shut you out and never see your face again. How can we be like enemies? When
when we're only flesh and blood? What does it take to make your heart bleed? Daddy, are we enough?
Do that one where like your best, you can sing it to your best friend sort of thing.
Right.
And I think that that's really what, you know, killed them as their fan base, where like you got to hear a lot of different stuff on Cream's album. Like, I also just appreciate that they decided to put a live one on there, like, because that's really how they made, you know, their wildly successful following is like through live shows, and they decided to put one on there, and it was a really famous blues song, and it was with Eric Clapton on it. So mm-hmm. I thought we got to see their whole range, as well as like a lot of their major hits, radio and fan favorites as well.
I'm looking at a list of the 200 greatest soft rock songs of all time.
Okay.
And
wake up. Damn, okay.
Oh,
he's back.
Sorry, just reading the titles put me to sleep. Two of the top four are Air Supply.
God damn it.
I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you. And then Lost in Love, which I don't even think I know off the top of my head.
And that's in the top 10?
Those are number 2 and 4, respectively.
And you don't even know it?
I mean, I probably know if I heard it. Brian Adams is on here a lot.
Canadian.
He's actually got six. He's got number nice. 1 and 6. Number 1 is Have You Ever Really Loved a Woman? Tell me, have you ever really, really, really ever loved a woman?
That's number 1?
Well, number 1 of all time, baby.
What chart are you on?
I don't know.
Oh, it's a GeoCities.
It's a GeoCities.
Oh, it's
page.
Your GeoCities.
Yeah. It is entertainmentexpertscolumn.com.
Oh, that sounds fake.
I think they're right up there with Rolling Stone. They're always
Rolling Stone.
Rolling Schmone. They're always 1-2 in the music world. Like, I'm like, well, I can't go to Rolling Stone. I'll go to entertainmentexpertsonline.com. Yeah, a lot of Eagles on here, too. Eagles are number 3, number 7, and number 11. And number 13. Just another tequila sunrise.
Oh, so it would be a song that sucks. I forget that I don't like this.
Yeah.
Because I'm like,
man, soft rock blows.
Because I'm like, the Eagles have like some pretty good stuff. Not the best, but some pretty good.
I remember I got in an argument with Terry Muskoff.
Yeah.
Rest in peace. Pour out a little bit. Great guy. Yeah,
good guy.
Band teacher, music teacher.
Loved to talk about music.
Yeah. And loved to teach music too, you know,
to children who probably didn't want to learn.
Yeah, just horrible kids, and he still like just, you know, taught his heart out.
Yeah,
I used to give him crap about when we would sit in the lunchroom about how fill in the blank was better than the Eagles.
Although you were very contentious about you hated CTA
Chicago, yeah. Chicago Transit Authority.
And he also did not like Peter Cetera.
And his reasons for hating Chicago were a little more personal.
Which, like, yours are too. You just hate them with your whole heart. And he was wronged by Peter Cetera.
Yeah, he was in a battle of the bands. Like, in Chicago, I think. And they lost out to, he goes, we finished second. You know who finished first? Chicago Transit Authority. So, like, Terry Muskoff could have been, like, you know, making shitty soft rock music.
Just been a millionaire.
You know? But instead, CTA got the nod. So, fuck those guys.
Why were you looking at that list?
Oh, we were just talking about soft rock, so.
Yeah. Okay. So, our last one.
Why was I looking up that list? Why do I do anything on this show? Why do you even keep asking me back?
Because you keep picking up the phone.
That's true. I'll pick up that phone every time.
So now that you've listened to the greatest hits, what about all the rest?
Yeah.
You've listened to the best. Now listen to the rest. Which one do you want to listen to the B-sides?
I mean, I think I've kind of heard everything I need to hear with Wilson Phillips.
Which sucks, right? Like, I don't want to listen to their Christmas album.
Yeah.
And God knows I don't want to listen to the one they sung with their dad.
Hey, Santa. Hey, Santa.
I don't like that song, Dan. I mean, like, also, after their song Flesh and Butt Blood.
Flesh and Butt.
Drastically different song.
Yeah, yep.
Also about dads.
Gross.
But, like, listen, after listening to that, I definitely don't want to hear them, like, do a track together,
yeah,
you know?
That was not a good song.
Well, I didn't think it was a bad song, but it, like,
I thought it
was super sad.
I thought it was kind of a bad song.
Okay. So, I have to agree with you, too. I'm going with Cream here because,
yeah,
like, now that I know what their, like, live performance sounds like, I want to get in some of that,
mm-hmm,
you know? I want to check that out.
I think it kind of goes back to the diversity thing, too, mm-hmm, because I think there's more to explore there, you
yeah
know?
Yeah.
There, it's like opening up a trunk. And you don't know what the hell's going to be in the trunk.
Right.
But if it's Wilson Phillips' car, you know what's in the trunk.
And that's because, like, they only really got to do two albums, and then they, like, broke up because they only sold, you know, 2 million. Which
yeah
is a shame. But, yeah, it's sort of like, oh, you have a greatest hits. Don't you only have two albums? Mm-hmm. And, like, shut up.
Young MC had one.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And then took four songs off the album and re-released it as a greatest hits, and we did a whole podcast on it. So now who's the dummy?
Yeah, but I couldn't remember his name recently.
Yeah.
Remember?
Bust a Move.
But Bust a Move,
what
though?
What about Bust a Move?
But Bust a Move, though. All right, so if we're looking at the stats here, we got 20th Century Masters, the Millennium Collection, the Best of Cream, as our winners today over the Best of Wilson Phillips.
They eked out a victory.
Yeah, I mean, they're both good. You yeah should listen to both of them.
I that's my Wilson Phillips is my re-listenability one.
Dude,
I was listening to
good
it when I was cutting the grass, and I was like, man, it's over?
Yeah. And that's the thing is, well, these are both very short, which is good. They're not like a bunch of riffraff. They've got their number ones on here. So check them out. They're both very good, but we've got Cream is our best greatest hits album from a trio.
I have a little bone to pick with you real
okay
quick. So you sent me, I listened to them on the Spotify links
right
you gave me.
Yes.
And I don't know if this was your doing or if this was just Spotify, like, because once it finished the playlist that you sent me, the
mm-hmm
Wilson Phillips one,
mm-hmm,
did you add extra stuff to the end of it to swerve me?
No.
Or,
okay. It has a feature called, like, after you're done listening to an album, it creates...
Like, you like that shit? Here's more shit.
It creates a radio station.
Okay.
For you to like or dislike.
Well, I don't
from
like
there.
I don't like that.
Okay.
Because I gotta go back and find...
Because I fell in love with the new artist, and now I'm a total
they played some,
fanboy.
They played some John Cicada.
That's over my head.
You ever heard of John Cicada?
Clearly not.
I'll look it up, and I'll sing a little bit in the final segment.
Okay. That sounds great.
Yeah. All
right.
And I'm like, what is... This garbage
we'll
that
be,
Mike put on there.
We'll be back in a second with recommendation
and
plug.
John Cicada.
And plug. Bye. All right. And we're back. This is the recommendation section. Then we got some plugs right there at the end. Dan, do you have a recommendation for a trio's greatest hits album?
I got two.
Holy
yeah
God. Strap in, everybody.
Yeah, so I'll give one and then you can give one and then I'll give a second one.
Perfect.
We'll send everybody home with a little bonus Cream here.
A trio of recommendations.
Nice.
Cream.
There,
because that's how every sentence has to end, apparently.
Yeah, Cream. It's like when you're talking on a walkie talkie, you say over. Or you just say where what's your location, good buddy?
Cream. Dan is...
Truck driving would be a whole lot different world.
Yeah. That's why Dan's on the... Got to stay off CB radio, you know, for
by
legal
law
reasons.
By order of the court, actually. My first one is going to be one of my all-time favorites, the Bee Gees,
uh-huh,
the Brothers Gibb.
You love those brothers so much.
Andy, Barry, and Robin. Wonderful. Wonderful. You know, we talked about, like, Wilson Phillips getting, like, pigeonholed into, like,
yeah,
the soft rock thing. So,
Bee Gees
get,
golden,
like,
handcuffs.
Bee Gees get, like, pigeonholed into disco just because of Saturday Night Fever.
Just because they sang disco music, Dan.
They didn't. Most of their stuff is not disco music. That's the thing, though. They did, like, four or five disco songs on one soundtrack.
That happened to go like 100 times platinum.
That, and that's the thing. Like, yeah. You get, you know, for what you're most famous for, it's like, I saw a t-shirt once said, what about all the good things Hitler did?
That's probably not a good reference point. I would say like Danny Tanner.
Well, I was like, we talked about
John Stamos.
We've talked a lot about Nazis on this show. So.
Just this episode.
Yeah, just this episode. But
Cream.
Bee Gees, there's one. Yeah, Cream. There's one called Ultimate Bee Gees. It's like a two disc.
Ooh, a double disc.
Yeah, and I had to search that one out myself because my dad tried to make me. I told this story before. My dad made me a best of the Bee Gees. Himself,
but it was an MP3 CD, so it had well over the normal
over
amount.
30 songs. Yeah,
yeah, well over what songs. It's supposed to be able to
and
hold.
And not one of them was Staying Alive. He goes, I don't really like that song, bud.
Which is like sort of what you're saying here too.
Yeah. Well, Staying Alive is on this album though, that I'm recommending
because it's the greatest hits.
Yeah, there's so much. Good stuff on there. There's, of course, like You Should Be Dancing, Staying Alive, Jive Talking, Nights on Broadway, Night Fever, More Than a Woman.
Is it classic?
More Than a Woman to Me.
Classic.
And there's some deep stuff on there that's good too. Is there any? No, that's I'm just thinking of. I was going too deep with that. You probably wouldn't even understand what I was talking about. About I started a joke, which started the whole world crying.
No, the joke has everybody laughing.
But I think it started them crying first.
The joke wouldn't make anybody cry, Dan.
I started to cry, which started the whole world laughing.
That doesn't make sense. I don't think you've heard this song before.
Song, bro.
I've listened to that song. It's an okay song.
So it's fantastic. It's really good. I've heard it. It's awesome.
I'm gonna flip this goddamn table.
Yeah, so Ultimate Bee Gees. That's my
first
recommendation.
My greatest hits recommendation is from a band that Dan sent me a list of the 10 greatest rock trios of all time, and on that list was Blink-182. Mm-hmm. And I listened to their I haven't yet listened to their greatest hit album, just called it Greatest Hits by Blink-182, but I've heard all the songs, and I looked at the track listing, and they do a perfect job, almost like chronologically, of adding songs from like each CD that came out in order. Mm-hmm. Which I thought was a really cool idea. They don't lean too heavily on the songs that every single person knows, but they also, I mean, they have the, you know, What's My Age Again and First Date and Stay Together for the Kids, but you get a smattering of sort of like their arc as a group from when they were like, you know, just silly kids and then to their latest stuff right before they broke up. This was in 2005, so this is like before they got back together, but I think it does a good job of, you know, showing their full potential, like, you know, what got them popular, what sort of stuff they started doing once they were a little bit more talented, and they also have a couple live songs on there too, which I think a good greatest hits should definitely have. Why would a joke get everybody crying though? That just doesn't make any sense.
Mike's looking at the lyrics right now.
Or am I?
That,
the
I
lyrics
was,
that you wrote.
I was correct, and I will accept your apology.
Never.
Anytime before the show is over.
Okay.
That's fine.
Well, Cream.
Well, Cream you too.
So, Dan, have you ever listened to Blink 182?
Yeah, I know some Blink 182. Like, I knew the songs that you just mentioned there. Yeah. I like Blink 182.
Yeah, they're not bad. I like them a lot, and I think their greatest hits would be a good listen.
So I'm going to go with my, to round out the trio,
mm-hmm.
Cream,
mm-hmm.
of recommendations here, Cream. I'm going to go totally the opposite of my first recommendation, and I'm going to go with a little hip-hop for you.
Okay.
And I'm going to recommend the 20th Century Masters greatest hits version of the band Salt and Pepper.
Okay.
Now, I know what you're thinking, Mike.
Right.
Salt and Pepper is two ladies.
A duo.
However, we forget about Spinderella, who was the third
member
of Salt and Pepper. And so they are technically a trio.
Just in the, like, strictest form, of course they
Absolutely.
Are. Same, like, you would consider the Beastie Boys a trio, mm-hmm. of course. Okay, yeah. cool.
So Spinderella is of course, in the trio. Very underrated in her contributions to Salt and Pepper.
Also, just, like, the contributions of, like, 90s hip-hop, you know, with female artists. Mm-hmm. That's such a small piece of the pie of music.
Yeah, it's... They were kind of ahead of their time in that.
And they paid for it.
You see all these, you see like all these females really dominating hip hop right now.
And almost none of them are none of them are DJs.
Right.
And
you know, like Nicki Minaj is ridiculously famous. Cardi B is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even
before them.
Yeah, who was the
Lil
Australian?
Kim. Oh, Iggy Azalea.
Iggy Azalea was big for a while, and then like before that was like Lil Kim, and you know they were kind of just ahead of their time.
Yeah.
Like I said, especially with like with the and I guess I'd kind of even put Beyonce in that like hip hop.
Yeah.
You know, kind of R&B.
She's more comfortable with art. Yeah, R&B,
yeah.
But
yeah,
I understand.
You know,
exactly
women are really
saying.
Dominating. You know the music scene right now. And I think that, you know, Salt and Pepper were kind of, you know, some people that are at the, a couple ladies that are at the forefront of that. And they just got so many hits, man.
Yeah.
So many hits. And they've gotten a little bit of a resurgence when the Deadpool movie came out. And,
oh, good.
And there was, you know, a couple of tracks that, Salt and Pepper tracks like Shoop and What a Man, I think,
right.
were, you know, kind of, you know, brought them from like, early to mid 90s up into here we are in the mid 2000s.
I can't remember what like video I was watching, but they were just talking. Oh, it was this Netflix docuseries called Rapture, and it's about rap culture, and they follow a female MC, and she's talking about how she kind of feels that she was like born into a more difficult era mm-hmm. for female DJs and mm-hmm. MCs because like it used to be like everybody worked together like mm-hmm. TLC was another group and like it was just like there was more camaraderie mm-hmm. amongst them where now like you know everybody's talking about oh there's beef between these two
yeah.
but it's like but they're also solo acts which means that they have to shoulder everything
yeah.
which kind of sucks because like, why are you turning people against each other when there's only, like, five on the scene at all?
Yeah.
So, it's sort of like Salt and Pepper.
That would be the time when you would want a band
exactly.
together.
And it's like, but then you're like, as your publicist saying, it's probably a better idea if you're going to be in the news if you're, you know, calling somebody a name or
mm-hmm.
talking trash about their record rather than, like, oh, you want to do a track together,
mm-hmm.
which sucks because, like, yeah, Salt and Peppa and, like, TLC, like, they were, like, the Wilson Phillips of their genre where it's, like, we're going to stand together, work together, and put out better quality material.
Mm-hmm.
So, who knows? But that's a great...
Fame.
This is a this is a very eclectic diversity amount
yeah,
of recommendations.
You're going to find something you like.
And if you don't, then you found the perfect podcast.
It's like the... I was going to say, if you don't like any of those, then fuck you. That movie... what's that... that movie that Mike Judge did?
Idiocracy?
Yes. It's got the guy on the billboard says, if you don't smoke Tarleton's, then fuck you.
All right. So those are our recommendations for albums... or greatest hits albums by a trio group. Dan?
Had some fun, man.
This is time for the plug section. I totally forgot last time, even when Jess was next to us, for you to plug your podcast you do with her.
Sure.
And then your solo podcast.
So still doing the wrestling thing, and that's the Rhino Wrestling Review. It's RYNO.
You can get bottle cap openers.
There's all kinds of gear, man. There's all kinds of gear.
Some might call it swag.
Yeah, swag.
Or merch.
Stuff
we
all get.
A jerk that everyone hates, you'll call it merch.
It's on all...
Google Play?
Yeah, it's on all podcast platforms.
You.
On Stitcher. It's on all that stuff.
We should see how to get it on Spotify. That would be the ultimate.
Yeah.
I think you have to pay or something.
You think so?
I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, but it's on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, like MySpace, all that stuff.
I'll send it to you on a cassette
the
mail.
I'll send you an 8-track and you send me $5.99.
I will not put it on vinyl for you.
But it's also on prowrestling.com. So if you
which is awesome.
If you listen to it on there, you can, you know, make me look good by getting more hits. And then my wife and I, Jessica, who was on the last show, we do the Broomsticks and Butterbeer podcast, which is a chapter-by-chapter discussion of the Harry Potter novels. So I'm kind of a master of none situation. I'm very average at everything I do.
But he's putting a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah, see,
those stats.
You just throw a lot of stuff. I'm more about the quantity than the quality.
Yeah.
As you could
just
tell,
like air supply.
By my performance on your podcast all the time. All about the quantity as we getting ready to go, probably gone like an hour and a half.
Four to 6 hours. Yeah.
And I ranked at one point, I ranked all the new kids on the block. So, that's the Broomsticks and Butterbeer podcast, again, also on all podcast platforms. And we have a really good time with that. There's some swag for...
bookmarks are out there.
We've got some t-shirts too. If you email into the show, if we like it, I've been known to send some stuff out to people. So you can follow me on Twitter at Dan Rhino, DanRyno, and just, you know, hit me up on there and I'll let you know how to email into either show if you want to, and we'll read it on the air.
All right. Cool. Well, thanks for listening today. This has been comparing apples to oranges, and we figured out that the 20th Century Masters, the Millennium Collection, The Best of Cream, was the best greatest hits album by a trio group that beat out the best of Wilson Phillips. And this has been Mike.
And Dan.
And we'll catch you next time. Hey, happy July, everybody. Thanks for listening. This has been episode 28 of the podcast, and I hope you liked this one. No, I sure did. Can't love Steve Winwood. Come on. If you're interested in looking up more stuff about comparing apples to oranges, go ahead and check out the Tumblr. It's comparingapplestooranges, all one word, .tumblr.com. There's links to my co-host stuff we mentioned on there. Check it out. Also, all the links to past episodes. If you have any comments or ideas for future episodes of the podcast, go ahead and send it to Twitter. We're at the Cato Podcast, all one word. Or email us. It's catopodcast@gmail.com. If you like that intro, outro, or music bed music, that was Thumbs Up by the artist Leisure B. You want to check more of his music out? Go ahead, go to humanworkshop.com. We'll be back next month. Bye.